We're going to be looking at the whole of 1 Corinthians 12 over these next few weeks and on into chapter 13 and 14. And yes, we're going to be dealing with some of those tricky bits of 1 Corinthians 14 and the discussion about so-called supernatural gifts. But I would just say now, straight off, I believe all gifts are supernatural. And we'll come to that even a bit today. They're all something special about them. We're going to be looking at spiritual gifts under this title, Don't Be Ignorant About Your Spiritual Gift. And if you don't have a Bible, you're going to need one. So grab one off Wendy or Michael, who are very kindly bringing forward using their wonderful serving gifts to serve the Lord in this way. Thank you, Wendy and Michael. So 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 6. There we go. Loads for the youth. And we're looking today just at the first few verses. It's page 1153 if you're new to finding your way around the Bible. And this is halfway through a letter that the Apostle Paul has written to a church in Corinth. And we'd spent some time recently looking at bits of the book of Corinthians. It might have been a year ago or so now. Time flies, doesn't it, when you're having fun? But Corinth is a city a bit like Brighton. It's a kind of a city which was by a sea. By the sea, and it's there in Greece, and Paul is writing this first letter to that church in Corinth, and he's gone through a whole row of different things. He's actually spent quite a bit of time in the first few chapters, verses chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, really spelling out how Jesus is the wisdom and power of God for salvation. Great, great chapters, which we've looked at in years gone by. And then he gets into some other important issues about sex and marriage and issues of eating and drinking. And then some issues about how we relate and the family of God. And then we come to chapter 11, which is probably familiar to many from the reading of the Lord's Supper. In fact, we're going to read it again in a moment when we come to communion. And now we're at 1 Corinthians 12. So you've got to get the context here. And he says, now about spiritual gifts, verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God who works all of them in all men. Let's just ask God to help us as we come to these scriptures to understand them and apply them. Father, we come before you and I ask, Lord, for your help as I speak. Lord, give me clarity. Give me courage to declare your word faithfully. And Lord, may you open up our hearts and minds, all of us, Lord, to your word, that you might prompt us and lead us by your Holy Spirit. Not just to listen well, but to live well. For Lord, we don't want to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. The saying goes, ignorance is bliss. Have you ever heard that one? And I have to say, I look at my little 2.5-year-old daughter sometimes and I think, you know what? Her life is just so simple. She has no idea about the complex nature of so much of the things, even the things we were talking about this morning. And, you know, for Lila, which is my daughter, you know, if she loses her hair clip, that's a kind of crisis. And if she spots two things that are the same color, it's just wonderful. Look, 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 Daddy, that's red and that's red. And it's like, yeah, isn't that wonderful? And I tell you what, I think we can learn a lot from children about their delightful, childlike simplicity. You know, Jesus encouraged us to learn from children. And I think one of the things we can learn is just how they have a sense of wonder at so many things in and around this world. But is it Lila's ignorance that makes her wonder at those things? Is it Lila's ignorance that I need to kind of emulate somehow? Well, the Bible is very clear, no. The Bible actually nowhere encourages us in our ignorance. You can check that out for me and have a quick read. I did a bit of a scour through, looked at some concordances. I couldn't find anywhere where it encouraged us to be ignorant about things. I encouraged a few places where it encouraged us to be innocent about things, be innocent of evil, but not necessarily ignorant. In fact, the things that it would say were important not to be ignorant about were, don't be ignorant about God. Don't be ignorant about God. 1 Corinthians 15, 32 talks, don't be ignorant about God. Hebrews 2, verse 3 says, don't be ignorant of your great salvation. We wouldn't want to be ignorant of these things because these are wonderful things that as we explore and as we go deeper in them, they become all the more special and they make life that more beautiful. And I'm actually excited about my daughter growing up and discovering more of the wonders of who God is and what God's done for us in that great salvation. But also there are passages like Psalm 9 verse 12 which say, don't ignore the cries of the afflicted. Slightly different from being ignorant, but it's a bit like what we were talking about this morning. It's saying we can't really get to heaven and say, well, God, I didn't realize anyone was in trouble. I kind of didn't bother to find out whether they were or not. I just ignored them. I was ignorant of them. You think that's going to wash with God? No. Because he says don't ignore them, because he says don't, and it means don't be ignorant of them. The two go together. There's an encouragement. And so we come to 1 Corinthians 12, and Paul says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, great to see sisters here tonight, I do not want you to be ignorant. And that's our first thing we're going to look at this evening. Spiritual gifts are important to understand and to use. Spiritual gifts are important to understand and to use. Two things that I want us to see right at the outset of this series is that we shouldn't be ignorant about spiritual gifts, but we also shouldn't ignore them. We are to understand and use them. Now, this series is basically because I believe that statement. We're going to be looking for 3 weeks at spiritual gifts and what the Bible's got to say about them from 1 Corinthians 12. And the reason we're doing that is because I believe it's important that we're not ignorant about spiritual gifts. And in fact, as a church, we've placed a really high value in the years that have gone by on spiritual gifts, on people understanding them and using them in the life of the church. In fact, many here will have done one of two courses that look at spiritual gifts. The first was Who Me, which we ran until about end of 2006, I believe. And then at the beginning of this year, we had a course that was similar, included some of the Who Me material called Community Life Course. So who here has done either Who Me or the Community Life Course? Give us a raise of your hand. Have a look around. A lot of people have been through training about their spiritual gifts and what they've done. And this end of this autumn time, we've just thought it's right to cut the Community Life Course a bit shorter and do some of the teaching about gifts in the main service. And here's why. Partly because I've just had another daughter, and I'm not sure I can cope with another whole series on late in the night, but that's not the only reason. Actually, this is something that I believe is really important for us all as a church to keep at the forefront of our minds. You see, you might be sitting here thinking, well, I know what my spiritual gift is. Well, great. And my question that I want to keep asking and bringing to us these next 3 nights, are you using it? Have you surrendered it? Are you not just not ignorant about it, but are you ignoring it or not? And if you're here in these weeks and you're thinking, well, I never done Who Me, never heard about that. I'm just a visitor here today or just started, I'm just a student, just arrived. I'd love to discover what my spiritual gifts are. Then these 3 talks are going to be great for you. So either way, whether you've done the course or not, I think this is going to be a great series for us to get into. And we're going to dig into some of the things we've been... I said right at the beginning, some of the chapters of 1 Corinthians 14 and things like that. And I just want to say as well, what I discovered this past year when I was teaching the Community Life course is that the way I teach it is a bit different from the way Reese would have taught it. And I think that's part of the reason why I thought it's not just necessarily right just to be sharing it with a few people who may be newer to the church. I think I just need to be sharing this stuff with everyone in the church. So please, come back next week, come back the week afterwards, tell the people in the morning, you need to be there. It's important stuff, okay? 1 Corinthians 12, let's not be ignorant about our spiritual gifts. Now, gifting is so important in how we function as a church because it actually really, I actually have it up in my office as a word. If you've come into my office, you'll see there's a few words up there. Gifting, gospel, and grace. I just think, 3 G's, I must be a preacher. They're all really important words. And as I think about gifting, I'm thinking, am I using my gifting? Is the gifting in others being used effectively? Because this is just such a key and important issue. And, we might think, well, it's really important for us as individuals to know our gifting. Then we feel that sense of being fulfilled. Or we might think it's really important for the team to use their gifts because, then they're more likely to succeed. Like, we've got a friend here, Ben, remembered his name. Great to have you here wearing a nice English rugby t-shirt. That's what we should be doing, you see. And in a rugby team or something like that, it's important that you know your gifting. That's why it helped us beat the Aussies. Because, we got Johnny kicking the ball, and Johnny knows how to kick the ball. And we had Jason Robinson doing his little runs. And Jason Robinson is gifted at doing his little runs. You know, he's got ability in that, skills in that. And we had, you know, I don't know, Lewis Moody doing some tough tackles and tracking people down. Because that's what, again, he's gifted. He's got ability in that. Now, that's, you know, that helps them individually feel satisfied. It helps the team to make it work. And all those things are true of church as well. But spiritual gifts are not just what I was talking about there with team of a rugby team. You know, not just Johnny being able to kick. That's more abilities. So what are spiritual gifts? Well, I found a thing that a guy called Rick Warren has written on spiritual gifts, really helpful. And he talks about discovering our shape, what we are, and how God has wired us up, that we're each different and unique. You know, Jason Robinson's different from, you know, Johnny Wilkinson, and Ben, you're different from me, and, you know, Sarah's got different gifts, and Mike's got different gifts, Philip's got different gifts. And he talks about shape, and he just goes through them, and I've just found this so helpful. I'm just going to share it with you tonight. First, he talks about S, spiritual gifts, and that's what we're going to be majoring on in this series, spiritual gifts. But then he also talks about heart. Our heart, our passions are part of who we are. They make our shape. They make what makes me different from Philip or from Graham. You know, it's our different heart and passion, not just our different spiritual gifts. And then he talks about abilities. And that is like, you know, some people are just good at kicking. I hope that's not something we use lots in church. But, you know, we do have different abilities, don't you? Some people are just brilliant musically. It's great to have people here from, you know, BIM, who is Brighton Institute of Music, who are studying music. It's great to have people who are gifted like Trevor at using computers and, you know, Matt using, you know, things like that. They're abilities that they can use in the workplace that others in their workplaces have got. You know, lots of people who are good at computers or, you know, great with music. You might do. But they're abilities. And then there's personality. My personality is different from Lynette's or Joy's. We have different personalities. That's part of who we are. And we're not meant to mask it or change it. We're meant to be who we are. And one of the great thrills, I just keep encouraging you in, is be who God's made you to be. Be the person God's made you to be. And lastly, experience. Rick Warren writes that God never wastes a blow. If you've gone through a tough thing in your life, it's part of who you are, part of how God's formed you. It's an experience that actually is part of your life. And God shapes us and uses the experience of our life, good and bad, to be the people we are today. And so that makes our shape. And you notice there, I find it really helpful, there's spiritual gifts and there are abilities. And those two, I think, are the things that we can most easily muddle up. So I want to just say, spiritual gifts, I believe, are best described, and this is one of the best definitions I've found for them, in this quote, which I'm just going to find here from John Piper, who's a pastor in Minneapolis in America. And this is what he says about spiritual gifts. I think we've even got this up on the screen, Trevor, have we? Here we go. This is what John Piper says about spiritual gifts. I find this really helpful. Say this with me. We're good at reading, aren't we? Most of us are gifted in that. We've got ability in that. A spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively for the strengthening of someone else's faith. Now, you see why we can so often mix these things up, because the spiritual gift is an ability. It is an ability. It's something that we're enabled to do, but it's more than that. It's more than just an ability. Many people have abilities, but a spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively for the strengthening of someone else's faith. Now, back to that analogy of the team. You know, when you're doing something, and if we had just talked about it in terms of abilities or things like that, we would think, well, I'm fulfilled in using my spiritual gift. And maybe some people have done the Who Me course a bit in the past to be fulfilled and discover their fulfillment. Or maybe you thought, actually, this whole spiritual gift stuff, the reason I've been put off it is it just seems to be all about us just being successful, you know, and working together as a team. I want to say that those two things are true, but they're not the main thing about spiritual gifts and why we need to understand them and why we need to use them. The main reason we need to understand and use spiritual gifts is because they're spiritual. When you get the spiritual part of the spiritual gifts, you actually strengthen your faith, strengthen and deepen your relationship with God. You actually, as it says back there in that Piper quote, you use and express your faith in a way that helps others' faith to grow. That's why the use of our spiritual gifts is important. And that's why it's important not just to understand them, but to use them. Let's have the quote back up there. Is that possible, Trevor? There we go. It's clear that there's an emphasis here on using it, not just understanding it, but a spiritual gift and ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively for the strengthening of someone else's faith. We're already seeing that we need to use these things to strengthen other people's faith. So, spiritual gifts are important to use and important to understand. But then the next point I just want us to see as we keep going on in 1 Corinthians 12, and we've done one verse. Hallelujah. And we're now moving on to verse number 2 and 3. And we're going to see that spiritual gifts are Jesus-focused and Jesus-serving. So we've already seen that spiritual gifts are spiritual, and as such they're different from abilities. But now in verse 2 and 3, that's kind of spelled out even more. Let's read them together. I'll just read them. You can read them with me on the page. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you, that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, you might look at verse 2 and think, what's that going all about? You know, this, you know, turning from mute idols and saying, Jesus be cursed. Well, in the context there in Corinth, these guys had turned away from idol worship. That's how the believers had done it. Idol worship was rife in Corinth, in that place. And the believers are turned away from idols, mute idols, they can do anything. And they're turned away from things that were against Jesus Christ. And they're turned consciously, they'd repented. That's what that word repent means. They're turned from these things, turned towards Jesus, and they'd received Jesus. They'd received him as their Lord and Savior. And so Paul is reminding about them that in the context of spiritual gifts. And he's saying, you've turned from self-serving. You've turned from things that are just about you or about this world, and you've turned to serve God, to focus on him. There's a new focus here from the stuff of this world and from mute idols to living and focusing on God. And spiritual gifts are a hallmark of that turning, of that new focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, again, we see that spiritual gifts are not for the purpose of just serving ourselves. And I'm emphasizing this again and again because I think when we think that and we use our gifts and then we struggle and we think, well, I don't feel satisfied in this. I don't feel like I'm getting loads out of it. And we've missed the point. We didn't have our gifts and we weren't meant to use them just so we felt self-satisfied. We're actually serving and focusing on the Lord. They're to be surrendered to him. They're to be put into his hands. Now, what do you reckon this bit is all about here where it says, therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Holy Spirit says, Jesus be cursed. We've talked about that. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Do you reckon that's true? Do you reckon we can get someone off the street and get him to say, Jesus is Lord, without the Holy Spirit? What do you reckon? Have a turn to your neighbor or someone and just say, what is that all about? No one can say, Jesus is Lord, by the Holy Spirit. Have a chat to your person next to you. What is all that about? Is that true? You can't say, Jesus is Lord, by the Holy Spirit? What does he mean by that? Okay, sound like a little lull in the conversation just there for a moment. Maybe you've come to a decision. Okay, who reckons we could get someone who is definitely not a Christian, you know, definitely not of the Spirit, who reckons that we could get them to say Jesus is Lord? Anyone reckon we could do that? Just get them to say it. Yeah? Okay, and who reckons there's no way they'd say it? There's no way they could say it. Okay, a few. All right. It's good. That's what I like when we're kind of wrestling with the text. And, you know, often we don't agree. Let's be honest. We don't agree with one another always about how to interpret everything. That's why we come and we study it and we look into it. And I have to say, as I was reading this, I was just thinking, yeah, you know, we believe Jesus is Lord. That's plastered over the front of our church. You know, we proclaim it. We believe it. It's crucial. It was like one of the first things in the early church. It's almost like one of the first declarations of a sign that people were Christians. In fact, it seems that in the early church, you had to, as you got baptized, say, Jesus is Lord. It was that important. And so I want to kind of encourage Roberto and Zen. I think there was something in saying and declaring Jesus is Lord that was really important to people in those days. That if you just made that public declaration, Jesus is Lord, that was a sign that you were taking something serious. But I think it meant more in those days than maybe it does now in just saying it. And I want to read a bit that I found so helpful from this book. And it's David Pryor, who I think might have gone to a church I used to go to in New Malden. But anyway, that's by the by. And he makes a great comment in page 195 here of this book. He says this: to enter the waters of baptism and to declare Jesus is Lord is to mean it and to adhere to it through everything until death. That requires the inspiration of God himself. Obviously, he says, Paul does not mean that he cannot even utter the words Jesus is Lord without the Spirit. He is talking of a public confession of personal faith in a living Savior in front of a hostile world. And I love that because it basically means the guys who put up their hand first were right, but also Roberto and Zen were right. That actually there's a sense here in which Paul is saying you can't stand up on a regular basis before others who are hostile to God and say Jesus is Lord and live it and proclaim it. You can't do that unless you've got the Holy Spirit in your life. In fact, he says this: no one could maintain such a creed in any century or culture except by the Holy Spirit. To be truly spiritual drives a person neither to ecstasy nor to individualism nor to otherworldliness, but into the life of the local church as an expression of his personal commitment to Jesus as Lord and to his body here on earth. And it is there that the implication of what it is to be spiritual men and women of the Spirit will be worked out. In times of persecution, which I believe are coming in this country, and martyrdom, such as many of Paul's contemporaries were to face in the days of Nero and Domitian, the meaning and inspiration of being members of the body of Christ begins to make themselves felt. To distance ourselves from other Christians is to waver in our allegiance to Jesus as Lord. This is the unmistakable thrust of what Paul now proceeds to unfold in the ensuing chapters. Doesn't make sense when you read more. Good book. So Jesus is Lord is a declaration that we make by the Spirit as part of the body of Christ, which unites us, which holds us together in a world which doesn't declare Jesus as Lord. They might be able to say it just for fun or as a joke or because you're twisting their arm, but they wouldn't declare it in front of their friends with faith and conviction. And you know, in those days of when this book was written to Corinth, people used to go around saying Caesar is Lord. We don't have people who go around saying anything's particularly Lord, but we have people who go around living their lives like other things are Lord and God. Like money's Lord. Success is Lord. Fame is Lord. Sex is Lord. Eating is Lord. Self is Lord. Self-fulfillment is Lord. And we're to be people who by the Spirit are saying Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of our lives, and then we're surrendering our gifts to him. We're using them to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you just to, even before, maybe you're here and you don't know what your spiritual gift is. I just want to encourage you to, in your heart, even now, be saying, Lord, whatever my gift is, I want to surrender it to you. And if you know your gift, I want to encourage you again to just surrender it to God. I had a friend the other night just encouraged me, keep surrendering your calling and your gifting to the Lord. You know, keep encouraging, just saying, God, here it is. It's first and foremost yours, not mine. Just encourage you to have that attitude of surrender to the Lord, because it's as we take that banner and, as it were, write it over our lives, write it over our spiritual gifts, that our gifts, as it were, come to life in all their fulfillment. They really take they take shape as to what they're meant to be. You know, it's as we use our gifts that so often our relationship with God actually deepens and strengthens. And we feel and we experience his power at work with him as we use our gifts. I've got a little illustration of that here. And there's instruments. This isn't mine, this is my wife's. And I discovered that Alison can play it as well. But this is you know what this is? Clarinet. And it's all different to a whole load of other instruments in an orchestra. I used to play the trumpet. And you could wave then at the people who played the clarinet. It's great. With a clarinet, you know, you've got it. It's different from all the other instruments. It's carefully designed like we are. And you need to kind of put it in someone's hands who can play it. That's not me. I learned how to make a noise on it. Do you want to hear? Isn't that great? It's not particularly brilliant. I can't do anything else. But it's a noise. Because it's in my hands. But you see, when we surrender our spiritual gifts into the Lord's hands, He, as it were, breathes His Spirit into them, fills them. And He, as it were, takes us in His hands and controls us and guides us so that He not just fills us but directs us. And what comes out then is just beautiful. And you've got to listen to this bit of music here just to see what can be done with an instrument in the right hands. Here we go. Different. And you know, I think most people in the church can tell the sound of when a spiritual gift has been placed into the Lord's hands. When that person's got Jesus as Lord, it's the main thing in their lives. When they're not just using that gift as a self-serving thing, but as a Jesus-serving thing. So I don't know, maybe you do know your gifts. Well, have you placed it in His hands? Laura and I were rereading some of her old journals, and it's great because Laura's handwriting you can read, so you can read her old journals. But one of the lines she had in there was, she had just asked herself the question, what are Jesus and I working on together at the moment? And you know, when you've got spiritual gifts and you know that Jesus is Lord in your life, you're asking those kind of questions. What is it that Jesus and I are working on together at the moment? Because He's given you this gift. And He's saying, come and give it back to me and I'll show you how to use it for my purpose. And then you're working on something together with Jesus, together. There's that sense of a dynamic relationship. You can see now why when we understand and use our spiritual gifts, our relationship with God is getting deeper because we're working together with Him on a project that He's given us, that He's given us the gifts to do, and that He's enabling and filling and working through. And it's just beautiful. So have you surrendered your gifts into His hands? Have you got this banner over your life, Jesus is Lord? But then we're going to come on to these next few verses as well, just to... And lastly, with the truth that not just are spiritual gifts important to use and understand, not just do they need to be Jesus-focused and Jesus-serving, but spiritual gifts are different and they're united. They're different and they're united. Well, that's what we're going to come to in verses 4 to 6. So let's just read these again. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God who works all of them in all men. So I'm a bit of a, engineer, mathematician, love tables. And here we go. Just saw a little table coming up here. Different kinds of gifts. Same Spirit. Different kinds of service. Same Lord. Different kinds of working. Same God who works in them all. And so I'm thinking, okay, right. So there's differences here and there's same things here. And getting down a bit of paper like that just kind of helped me. And I was starting looking at the differences. And let's just think for a moment for the differences. They were different gifting. Different, and the word in the Greek is kind of, it's like this charisma word, which is actually, the word charis is to do with grace. So it's connected to grace. It's a gift. And literally, it's a kind of birthday gift. That's the modern way the Greeks use that word. It's literally a birthday gift or a love gift. There are different birthday gifts you get from God. Different love gifts that He's given to each one of you. I don't know if you like presents, but I love presents. Worth knowing, it's my birthday coming up soon. And you get different presents, and they're great, aren't they? You kind of unpack them, and they're different, and they're individual for you. They're often different from different people. But here, Jesus is giving to His people different gifts. different love gifts. And there's different service. That word service is actually diakone. And that sounds familiar to a word that we don't often use much anymore, but is still in operation in Baptist circles, which is the word deacon. And deacons are those that serve, hence service. So there's different service, different ways of doing ministry. And you know, that's true as well, isn't it? God gives different gifts. So, you know, he might have different, two different people with the same gift of teaching. So that they have the gift of teaching. And, others have the gift maybe of evangelism, or some have the gift of administration. And there's different gifts. But then even those that are given the same gift do it in a different way. They serve in a different way. You know, one might serve with the gift of administration helping in this area. Another might serve with the gift of administration helping in another area. And there's different service that takes place and happens. And then there's different working. And that work, and this was complete news to me, I discovered, was that that work has actually got the same root word as our word in English, energy. There's different workings, there's different energy, different quickening of God that takes place in our use of the service. And don't we know that to be true as well? At even times in our life, we sense different kind of quickening and working. And God works that out so that there's different gifts, different service, different working. And that's the way he does it. Great diversity. Wonderful diversity. And you know, you and I think we should be praying and saying, God, help me to be willing to be different. Because God doesn't want us to be the same. He loves diversity. I used to say it at the Who Me, and I say it now at Community Life Course. But God is the God who made hummingbirds and hippos. How different can you get? So diverse. And in fact, I was sent a PowerPoint by my dad, who was doing a talk on a similar theme about diversity and unity. And there were some slides which so wonderfully kind of brought out this diversity that I've just got to show them to you because they're very, pretty visual. Here we go. This is next one. There we go. Galaxy. Look at that. I just love looking at that. It's so big and vast and massive and hot and cold all at the same time, and billions and millions of light years, you know, across from one to the other. And so big and yet so kind of inanimate and so doing nothing, but yet amazing. Now we've got kind of galaxy clusters. So those are little starlets. In fact, I think that might even be a kind of nebula thing. I'm not as good at this stuff as I'd like to be. But yeah, again, how different is that from what was before? Next picture. It's pretty different. Still pretty intricate. Still pretty amazing. Very pink. You can tell I'm living in a house full of girls. Next one. Insect. So different, isn't it? And yet, look at the pattern the insect's making. So neat and tidy, so beautiful. And you know how there are just so many insects. I mean, it's like you think, there you go, there's an insect, and this is a bird, that's an animal. I tell you what, insects, there's just so many. Have we got any kind of, biologists who really know about these things? Anyone know how many different types of insects there are? It's some phenomenal amount of different types of insects. Here we go. You can email me afterwards. And right, again, it's so different. Now, I can't even begin to think how one would evolve from the other, or even evolve from different places. They're just so different. And next one. You're getting the point, aren't you? Have we got anything else? That's it. Here we go. Butterfly. I mean, a rhino and a butterfly, they're just, what's the word? So different. God loves that kind of stuff. It's all over his creation. Diversity, diversity. And you look around this room, and we're so different. And praise the Lord for it. We're not meant to be the same. And yet, you know what I've discovered? We love to try and be the same. Because our world says, conform. Conform. And in church, we often think we need to conform. We all need to be like super person over there, sitting at the back. Give us a wave, super person. But you know what I'm learning? It's a struggle. I need to be me. I need to keep getting rid of the sin in my life and all that kind of stuff. That's not an excuse to, you know, not strive for better things. But I need to be me. I need to be the shape that God's made me to be. And you need to be the shape God's made you to be. So as we think about spiritual gifts, I want you just to get this really clear in your head. There's different ones. And that's great. And you need to pray and say, God, give me courage to be different and use my gift for you. Help me to be different and use it in serving you in the way that you want me to serve. Help me to be different and work it out as you want me to work it out. Because it will be different in each one of those things. But here's the wonderful thing that draws it all together. There is also great unity, because there is something in all these things that's the same. Do you remember what it was? God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I love it. It's the Trinity. It's like diversity in the Godhead as well. Except they're one. There's oneness there. The heart of God. And it's the same God yesterday and today and forever, which means that it should look the same. That our spiritual gifts, while they're diverse, they should have something about them which has the hallmarks of God in them, which makes it look united and together, and should enable God's people to come together and think, yeah, this is not just here in this church, but across this city. There should be a sense of, yeah, this is the same. And you know what's the same about it? It's done for the same God, and it's done in the same attitude. And we're going to come in 1 Corinthians 13 to love, the attitude that's meant to pervade it all. And there's, in Galatians, there's fruit of the Spirit, which is meant to pervade it all. Because it's the same God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter what your gift is, if you're not doing it in love and with joy and peace and patience and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, then you're not doing it the right way. Because they're the same. And so as we pray, Lord, help me be different, we should be also praying what? Lord, help me be the same. Same attitude as people throughout history who've been serving you with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. So let that be a hallmark of lives, then the diversity and a difference that responds to this wonderful truth that we're given these spiritual gifts to be a connected body. And we're going to come on to that these next few weeks, that just shines and radiates for God as he comes through and as we surrender, remember the clarinet, surrender our gifts and our lives in his hands. So as we just come to communion now, I love us just pause to bow our heads, to just say, God, if you know what your gift is, just bring it as it were in your hands, have it in your open hands. And if you don't know what your gift is, just put your hands out saying, Lord, I want in this series to discover my gifts, okay? Put them there in your hands, just bring them out before you. I'm not going to get you to do anything crazy, you'll be pleased to know. Just bring to mind the gifts he's given you. And if you don't know what those are, just make it a prayer now. Just say, Jesus, help me in these times to understand the gifts you've given me. And now, Lord, just with our hands open before us, we place our lives afresh into your hands. Place our gifts, spiritual gifts you've given us, back into your hands. And as we do it, we say, Jesus, you are Lord. Just say that in your heart. Jesus, you are Lord. Be Lord over my gifts. And then, Lord, help me by your Holy Spirit to be, Lord, to have the courage to be different. To accept that I've got different gifts from maybe those around us. To accept that I might use them in a different way. To accept that your Spirit works in me in wonderful diversity. But, Lord, as I use my gift, help me use it with an attitude of love that will bring honor to the name of Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, may these be hallmarks of not only my life, but of us as a church. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Just want to end with, before as we come into communion, just a little saying here about diversity. And this is a line from my dad, but I was remembering it as we were praying. It says this. And we got it up here on the screen. Diversity is not a problem to be solved, but a glorious, demanding reality to be harnessed. Isn't that great? Diversity is not a problem to be solved, but a glorious, demanding reality to be harnessed. That's what we want to do as we seek to understand our gifts. We want to recognize and celebrate our diversity. Not try and solve it then and say, right, let's all be the same, but harness that in a glorious way for the kingdom of God, for His glory and for His purposes.